It trudges diligently from one scene to another, and seems always to thrust itself in the way, with most benign complacency, whenever a historical personage happens to be looking round for a seat. There is certainly no method by which the shadowy outlines of departed men and women can be made to assume the hues of life more effectually than by connecting their images with the substantial and homely reality of a fireside chair. It causes us to feel at once that these characters of history had a private and familiar existence, and were not wholly contained within the cold array of outward action, which we are compelled to receive as the adequate representation of their lives. If this impression can be given, much is accomplished. Setting aside Grandfather and his auditors, and accepting the adventures of the chair, which form the machinery of the work, nothing in the ensuing pages can be termed fictitious. The author, it is true, has sometimes assumed the license of filling up the outline of history with details for which he has none but imaginative authority, but which he hopes do not violate nor give a false coloring to the truth. He believes that, in this respect, his narrative will not be found to convey ideas and impressions of which the reader may hereafter find it necessary to purge his mind. The author's great doubt is whether he has succeeded in writing a book which will be readable by the class for whom he intends it. To make a lively and entertaining narrative for children with such unmalleable material as is presented by the somber, stern, and rigid characteristics of the Puritans and their descendants is quite as difficult an attempt as to manufacture delicate playthings out of the granite rocks on which New England is founded. End of Preface. Part 1, Chapter 1 of True Stories from History and Biography by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Reader's Note: The book begins, after the preface, with this heading: The Whole History of Grandfather's Chair, Complete in Three Parts. End of Reader's Note. Part 1, Chapter 1. Grandfather had been sitting in his old armchair all that pleasant afternoon, while the children were pursuing their various sports, far off or near at hand. Sometimes you would have said, Grandfather is asleep, but still, even when his eyes were closed, his thoughts were with the young people, playing among the flowers and shrubbery of the garden. He heard the voice of Lawrence, who had taken possession of a heap of decayed branches, which the gardener had lopped from the fruit trees, and was building a little hut for his cousin Clara and himself. He heard Clara's gladsome voice, too, as she weeded and watered the flower bed which had been given her for her own. He could have counted every footstep